This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 6th of October, 1953. The title of this lecture is Looking, Definition of Static. This tape is 53 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions. Please note, this tape ends abruptly, as did the original master recording.
Well, here we have today, first meeting of this group. This group, by the way, consists of little bit more than a third of the first group I trained in Great Britain. There were 36 applicants on this group, and we really whittled them down. Had to, they weren't degree. We have here today certain purposes that we have to get clarified, certain data we handed out, and to get some sort of an idea and orientation what we're doing. Now we have quite a job ahead of us. Very definitely, one of the first goals of this group will be in the first 2.5 weeks good high operating lever on every individual in it. That means, as I look around here, that means several cases will have to be mustard sky white and handsome. Well, now I will do what I can to take the rough edges off of those cases and so on. But we devote ourselves here 2 weeks or 2.5 weeks to bring everybody up to a good level of case. It'll be paid for in the long run by very rapid assimilation from 2 weeks from now on. We have an awful lot of work in the field of theory, and I hope that we'll get over it in this group. The fact that theory and practice don't have to be separate. They've always been separate in other fields, and too often it is said throughout the country, well, that's theory, and what I'm interested in is making something work. I mean, it's like somebody saying, well, now that's an automobile, and he goes off and sits on a park bench in order to drive someplace. You wonder why these people fall down as auditors. They fall down as auditors because they can't anticipate or predict the occurrence within the preclear because they don't know exactly what the preclear is working on. And if they're well-braced in theory, they know exactly what the preclear is working on. Not because they look or anything of the sort, it's just they just know what this fellow's doing. And that all life looks very complex to this preclear, and it doesn't look complex to the auditor. That is the difference. To a good auditor, life does not look complex. It looks actually rather impatiently simple. And sometimes you have to sit down and think for a long time just exactly why life seems so complicated. And sometimes you have to go further than that. Sometimes you not only have to think for a long time, sometimes you just never find out according to their lights. You can state it in simple workable terms which will predict their behavior. But for the life of you, to see how somebody came by this concatenation of logic, it's almost impossible. Fabulous. Well, now, we're not just training auditors, I hope. That's something we can do, and should be able to do a lot more than that. If one just started out on the basis of training auditors, one technique which I could give you as a group would break you out of any obsession of auditing. And I could probably run and slant techniques so that undoubtedly this, I could slant techniques so that the guy wouldn't ever look at it very clear. That would be slanting techniques. Well, it's interesting that in the last Congress here, we had a lot of techniques handed out. They were pretty routine and so forth. Actually, the simplest techniques were not given at that Congress. Simple as those techniques look, There's a simplicity level of Q&A, which I don't think those people will follow. It's just too idiotic and simple. I'm going to tell you this technique right now. And you're going to find yourself asking these questions an awful lot of times. Where is the past? That's the question. The environment. It's asked out in the environment, near the creature. A formation of nothing or something or whatever it is, you don't care. You just want something out in front of him saying, where is the past? And you want that then turned around and placed on or within his body as here is the past. Where is the future? And you just want that turned around then and placed within his body, here is the future. You will find out immediately. It's really too silly. You will find out immediately that he's trying to bring in the past and bring in the future, which accounts for his condensation in a body. Now, this technique is quite idiotic, because on breath we wipe out Freudian psychoanalysis, understand it, digest it, and throw it away. Just like that. You find out this fellow's been trying to say, where is the future? He has always understood that the future had a location and that the past had a location. And in baffled contemplation of no location, he's of course assumed both of them and put them in his body. And here we get the condensation of looking which makes a body. This when you handle lightly around as long as the person is interiorized, because there's no reason to knock apart the body, people recognize it. But where a person is very savagely holding on to a body or holding on to blackness, he's simply doing this trick. That's all. Where is the past? Where is the future? And of course, he's bringing in these long, distant anchor points, he thinks, and this condenses him. Now, in everything we're doing, there's a motto running through here. You heard that motto. It's look, don't think. Look. That model becomes very explainable when you find out you can't look at the past, you can't look at the future if you are right here in the present. See? So if you can't look at the past and look at the future, then you find yourself very indistinct with regard to how to look at it. So of course you have to think about it. And the other model, and these models, by the way, I'll probably have made into a couple of small these like these office door signs, these white and black office door signs. I'll have a whole stack of them made, and I'll put them in each one of you. Because you may think these things are something you will remember all the time, but it's possibly better to have them around. And the other is looking, pardon me, feeling is a condensation of looking. And thinking is a condensation of feeling. And you've got it. If you don't see how this collapses the anchor points. Now, the apathy on the case consists of this, and nothing but this, is I'll never get it back. Which is, of course, I'll never get it in. Which is, of course, where is the future? Where is the back? Where is the... See how it is? I'll never get it back. You find fellows are cutting and hawing all over the universe trying to get something back, and then they go into apathy about getting it back, and although they leave the anchor point out there, thus being made to feel the emotion on this is ridiculous. And so they feel like they're no better off than to be human. And they got these anchor points stretched out all over the place, and other people have got their anchor points, they've gone into apathy now, and they'll never get it back. Well, forgetting is an extension away from them of anchor points. Forgetting is an extension away from anger. A memory is something you can't get back. Remembering is quite often something pushed in. So people talk continually about betrayal, but never talk about ridicule. And the act of ridicule is having an anchor point held way out from him. So, of course, the person has forgotten the ritual, and he remembers the betrayal. The betrayal was the smashed-in anchor point. Betrayal is something you have gotten back from the past. Of course, it's all you could get back from the past if you didn't have Scientology. The only thing you could get back would be betrayal, because that complements the action of getting something back. So the effort of getting something back amounts to the pile-up in front of a man's face, which is often quite black, and that is betrayal. So he piles up burned-out anchor points in front of his face because he can't get anything else back. He doesn't want to give live electrical, really simple anchor points in there, because he knows these things hurt. So he substitutes for this, and he has black anchor. And that is your very, very rough case. Now, I don't care what computation you put on this case. Let's just go back and move out of the field of computation. We find out that feeling is a condensation of looking, and thinking is a condensation of feeling. So he thinks mainly about betrayal if he's low on the scale. Now, it's pretty hard for step one to recognize, as I found out the past 2 years, to recognize what on earth is a pot. Very interesting. And not too long ago, I found out that I myself could turn on all the manifestations of the pot, not by mocking them up, but actually turn them on and turn them off again without too much trouble. And that was simply by, what is the significance of the explosion? And this is the suppression of white, which is reading. So everybody's bringing in the blackness off the printed page and saying to themselves, what is it? Well, again, we're into thinking, and this is a condensation of feeling. So a person who has been doing an awful lot of reading eventually thinks he has no further emotion, because the book is always a fixed distance from his face. The motion picture is always a fixed distance from his face. And so you find people, by the way, uniformly take the same positions in depth in the theater. They choose their seats if permitted, and they will have a certain depth. Unless, of course, they're in good shape, at which time they don't give a darn about any simple thing. You get the difference of that. But people who have got to have first row, got to have fifth row, and so forth, will find expressing these premises. And if you were to find somebody walking into a theater expressing an enormous amount of preference all the way down the line about a seat, you could just pick him up as an occluded case. And having picked him up as one, you could just give the idea of a fixed distance of a stage or a fixed distance of a picture. Well, now we see, now we get a good idea of what we're doing. We're unfixing distances. Unfixing old anchor points. Well, all it requires to unfix old anchor points is simply to be quite able with new anchor points, which is why theta clearing works out so well. Why it works so swiftly. Well, all of a sudden finds that he doesn't have to have a fixed position of a body, that he can sail around a bit. Immediately he gets a lot happier about this whole thing. He doesn't have to have a fixed anchor point, which is the same body. All right. Let's look over that basic material as theory. You've got a book, then, in the hands of most of the precursors who are included. I mean, they're just sitting there reading the book, right? All their facsimiles are reading the book. While they're reading the book tells them they're moving all over the universe. Oh, no, they're not. They're sitting in a chair. The book tells them they're being faced with sound. Only they're not. The printed word is silent. It's an entirely different codification. They are under the impression that they're getting mock-ups and admiration from the book. They are not. One day, they'll suddenly stop mocking up admiration in the scenes and the scenes that they are reading about in books. And the day they do that, they just start to eat upon those they've already stored up. The next thing you know, you have a complete energy starvation, but you have a fixed emotional state. There you are. fix the emotional state. You find out this is what most preachers complain about. Well, how do you settle this? Let me settle this. There's a lot of ways to settle this. I'll give you a drill right off hand that isn't the best one, but it's a very interesting one, and one that I'd like to have you work with. That is to say, you just take a chair, and you have the chair get apathy, and then you have the chair grief, and you have the chair, anger, and you have the chair enthusiastic, until you can actually feel these emotions coming out of this chair. You've got a chair, then. A very wonderful thing. You realize that you have been putting an awful lot of emotion in the body. Now, communication consists of a fixed system of looking. A fixed system of looking. Sonic goes off in the bank before Vizio, long before Vizio, because it's fixed. It has a distance. The distance in sound is infinitesimally small. Because although one may reason that the point of sound is some distance away, depth perception in sound is mainly depth direction in sound. And what is actually making the eardrum vibrate is a bunch of air. And the air vibrates up against the eardrum. And the distance, fixed distance of sound, is infinitesimally small, molecularly small. So this one can turn off the preacher fairly young and fairly early. But to regain it again, the little drill I gave you during the conference is quite adequate. You just keep up this little drill for a very short time, and bang, on will come somebody, sonic. There's no trick to go sonic. Go snap your fingers, that's the preacher if he heard that. And he said, yes, he can recall that. One girl who was quite catatonic, by the way, I made into a girl who could be effort processed simply by coaching her on what effort was. She finally understood effort. When she understood effort, which is to say when she could re-experience and turn on effort again, she practically cleaned up the whole bank in an awful rush. She got so enthusiastic over what effort was that she was running all over the place. And effort would be the force or power or energy necessary to move an anchor point. So as soon as we get into the business of no force or power to move an anchor point, we get into a person who can't work or won't work. Because he can't put out effort. So automatically, somebody who won't work or can't work is usually in pretty bad shape. That's a good common denominator. Why? It's because he can't put out effort. But that is unintelligible to us. I mean, that's just another word. But we can understand with great ease, he can move around anchor points. He wouldn't want scholars to farm. They never move anything around. Because they know everything's fixed. The anchor points which they have are about 18 inches away from them and remain there, and at the same time, even while remaining there, yet move their minds all over the universe. Now let's take a kid and give him the idea of watching a motion picture. And this is a wonderful experience for an auditor because the kid starts to move promptly. People frown at you if you move in the theater. You're not supposed to move like this. That's why they put all the kids way down front. They really, on a Saturday afternoon, you'll find the first few rows of theater jammed with kids. And these kids are quite noisy. When the guns go off, the kids go off. But you run this on an occluded preacher. You wouldn't think you'd get much response from it. But he can actually feel a motion picture screen trying to move him around. And he can actually feel the book trying to move him around the universe. And of course, in order to read the book, he's got to sit still. So every time it tells him to move, he sits still. It says move, he has to sit still in order to keep on reading. And then, of course, the future is just slightly over to the right. That's the end of the book. And facsimiles are page thick. And they say... Motion pictures, the dimension of a mock-up is perfectly flat. There's no two dimension because it's the same distance on the screen. Same with television. Well, this is just an occasion People being told they are moving when they are not moving. See, people aren't moving, but they think they are moving. This is a wonderful thing. I suppose originally they really do move way back on the time. Entertainment, I guess, consists of actually getting out and doing something, not sitting still and being moved artificially. Well, the fixed feeling is that same unemotional feeling. Your ECT case, it's British, electroshock therapy case, to take an example out of the field of psychiatry, complains usually about fixed emotions after just so many shocks. That's because somebody really fixed that anchor point but God, and fixed it in their heads but God, and so on. Nobody could invent a better way to make somebody permanently unwell than to fix this anchor point, you see, with electricity. Well, now there are a lot of other things you can find out. If you solve one way or the other, you can find out an oddity. But these I just give you as clues and keys to cases. Now, I used to do this with preclears in 1947. They called preclears, then I just called them people. And I used to work with these preclears in a very calm and very certain way. I used to say, all right, now we'll go over here and we'll turn on this music box. You know, we'll turn off the music box. Now you hear the music box. Do you hear the music box? Can you hear it again? Work rule. Yeah, I can hear the music box. Turn on the phonograph. Turn on drop books. That was the last one I would go through for some reason or other. I would show them face cards. I haven't seen the face cards again. I would show them a flower. I would see the flower again. And so on. The next thing you know, the fellow had perception. If you think the occluded case is very, very tough, or it's upsetting, so on, just remember that it was being solved in 1947 by a rather simple technique. You just kept at it. I don't care how long it took. You just kept drilling, and you never let the guy fail. You just didn't let him fail. You brought him up on a gradient scale of being able to recall, so that he could then say, here's the past. Now he had a new certainty. Here was the past. He had a picture of the past, and that's how life is answered. We don't need that today. What we do is cure his anxiety about having to have the past. Where's the past? Well, he doesn't say, here's the past. And then he could say, I can't find the past. He's practically done right at that moment. I can't find the past. Nothing's still here. Time is the only aberration that's not there. Okay, you can't ever get an anchor point in time that will really stick. You've got to keep putting it into time. So if you find old people, we'll discuss their ills, youth, so forth, just endlessly, over and over, trying to put enough anchor points into the past to have a past. They're really downhill from that. All right, well, regardless of all this theory, I don't worry much about theory. I'm just giving you some kind of inkling here on what we've got as working tools. These are terrifically simple tools. I say 1947, I could turn on perception a little bit later. It all had to be done more mechanically. That mechanistic approach got too mechanistic, and I wasn't taking enough of a breather to turn around and look and find out it was too mechanistic. I wasn't auditing enough. It got away from us at a heck of a flat. Out of proposition, I became more and more puzzled, forgot many of the things which I myself did, and tried to find out what I was doing. It was taking me a long time to find that out. But I'll tell you what it was. You know, Q&A now, Q&A processing. When I sat in front of the preclear, I knew he was going to get well. I spoke in an intensely certain tone of voice. He had no choice but to put it on. Now you have very, very, very wondering, puzzled, and so forth, auditors. they sit there and they say, well, I'm excited at work. I don't know. let's go over that again, I guess. I guess that's the thing to do. How do you feel now? What are you thinking? What does that mean to you? How about going over that again? Would you mind that? See, question mark, question mark, question mark. Preacher had no choice but to put it on. And so, it took, not high tone about it, as we were trying to say in Science of Survival, which often helped. We can classify this much better right now, and we can say it really took a certain auditor. Not a certain person, but an auditor who was certain. That's all it took.
This lecture is continued on side two of this cassette.
You got to know that you know, and then other people know, and they don't know why they know it. Well, we're not quite in that same boat here. I'm not going to ask you to simply take what certainty I have and turn around and put it on the wrong day. But you got to know that what you're doing works, and you got to know how far you can go. And you also got to know that you're not particularly interested in getting an effect from the preclear. Most auditors get into this one way or another. They want an effect from a preclear, and they want this effect so much that they're unable to operate without being told how well the preclear is. Of course, the preclear never tell you that well. An auditor's acceptance level of the preclear is a sick preclear. So the preclear, to go on being accepted, of course, has to be sick. And you say, do you feel well now? And most preclears you audit, they will say, well, well, it probably does a lot of people a lot of good. You just got through curing something flaming on it. Well, it probably does a lot of people a lot of good. I don't know about myself. Undoubtedly, he's got to be doubtful. He can't be convinced. If he's convinced, if he says, gee, I'm well. Boy, I really feel good. You don't accept him anymore. So he knows this. So to keep your attention, which is very nice, he has no choice but to do this. So when it comes to auditing, we have several things then that we must go into and look for, and there'll probably be a lot of personal coaching on this. I hope you don't think that this is even close to an approach that treating you all like you're infants or something of the sort. There isn't anybody here who hasn't done an awful lot of audit one way or the other, and so forth. And you don't mind my mentioning, though, about something that happens in aviation. In the old days, pilots used to fly to the seat of his pants, and if he got to carrying his left wing a trifle low, he went right on. He learned to carry his left wing how he did. If he learned, in the process of his learning, he included in that several slight errors. He would go on for thousands of hours with these slight errors in his flying. Well, undoubtedly, every one of you has, to some degree, slight or great, undoubtedly has, with some tiny margin of improvement of auditing style. I would say the margin is large. I would say the margin is probably very tiny for improvement. And that's why I'll have to take each one of you personally. I hope you don't resent what's happening. And just sit down with a phone on your ear while you audit the preclear. And I'm sorry if it'd be upsetting. And sort of straighten out not what your use of the technique. Heavens, no. Just trying to straighten out just a little bit your level of certainty toward the preclear. If we can speed up your thinking about thinkingness sufficiently, there would be no further remedy needed. So, I'm going to show you how fast it is to predict the preclear's reactions and where the preclear is going to go next. And I think that it might help out if I just pressed home not a pattern attitude, but the speed of prediction and certainty of address without interfering with your own basic personality can be done with great ease. The attitude is based on certainty, and I want to teach you, if I can, to read a prequel without even looking at his facsimiles or ridges. Just sit there and read, writing the book. You know what he's going to say? Wish to Christ he'd run. And still operate upon a level of restraint which doesn't permit you to say, well, go on, it's your mother, let's run her out. You know. All right. Our general effort is going to be toward the first amendment, and then second, toward theory, with particular stress on theory of investigation. Because as you learn theory of investigation, you will learn how to take apart people in life. Certain little basic rules that you use that very few of them really have ever appeared in any book or quite a little thumb guides. As I go over them again, and they may seem sort of idiotic to me, but they were the thumb guides that put all this on the road. And that's just to get us off auditing for a short time, about 2.5 weeks from now. Now we will turn around. I will pick up some demonstrations and experimental cases. And the first two of those, I don't know whether I'll get permission on this yet, but I have hopes to, with two blind children who are about to be shipped off to a home for the blind. They're born blind. And yet they evidently don't have anything wrong with the eyesight, and the medical profession says they don't have any corneas. Now, we're not going to dress up, I don't think. Maybe we will. Mess body. This is the roughest level of case there is. Not the occluded case, but the case where the GE's eyes are real blind. The only reason we take on these two cases is to find out what we can do for them. And then there will be other cases. I have any intention of picking up cases which are successful cases. I mean, picking up cases which will lead to certain success. Attention whatsoever. You can find all the easy cases you want to. Lots of easy cases. For instance, there isn't a tough case in this room. Notice immediately several people might flinch. I say to that, they're basing all their pride upon being a tough case. But I've even been breaking the cases of Spanish police officers. The final word, 1-5. Final word. They're real solid. Like somebody said about another preacher. They're solid black glass. Well, all right. When we get quite a few of these cases through, we will go into considerable more material. Particularly, we should go into some of the material that surrounds group communication systems. All the way through, actually, we ought to go into the axioms. We should pick up some theory after we've already gone over the systems of theory. We should go to this other system. We should know at the time this course is finished, not the axioms by number. That would be kind of idiotic. But we should know them by definition. We should take them up and discuss them rather thoroughly. And having discussed them thoroughly, we should understand them better. A lot of people are still floating around wondering what randomity is. And yet there happens to be only one nice, solid, calm explanation about why life operates as life and why individuals become individuals, and that's just randomity. So we've got to have a lot about randomity and see how it works and so on. Well, in a small group of this character, there can be lots of questions. There can be a lot of internal instruction in the group itself. There can be lots of questions to me personally and a lot of talking with me personally. And so there shouldn't be anything about which you're balking. But I'll give you a word of warning. If some of the questions that start popping up are too confoundedly elementary, we won't go into 24 hours on bread and water. We'll go into 24 hours with our nose stuck in book one or something of the sort. But you would be absolutely amazed how widely and grandly this track has gotten swept. We really have material to look at. But still, if we can learn in this course how to think and when not to, and if we can get our speed up as a group, good and high, we will have accomplished that thing for the United States which was accomplished in Great Britain. Only we would have accomplished it better. I went over to Great Britain. I took a course that had been indoctrinated on the HCA tapes very well. And I took off from there straight into Theta Clearing. And I went straight from there on Theta Clearing. As I say, I had a group much bigger than this one. And yet I was able to give personal attention to everybody in that group. I taught them for 6 weeks, all hours of the day and night. And we have formal lectures, we have seminars, and that was not important, formal lectures and seminars, that was beside the point. What we had was just continuous for a demonstration and experience inside the group. Right now, Great Britain is undertaking such programs as wiping out asthma in the British Isles. There it is not dabbling. These boys are real mean. The British HAS is an immediate reflection on 6 weeks of training. That isn't an immediate reflection on me. It's the immediate determination of this original group of people in Great Britain who decided that in this 6 weeks they were going to get an awful lot of auditing in, and they were going to get an awful lot of studying in, and they were going to ask all the questions they could think of, and they were going to get all the information they could possibly think of. They were going to pull each other along one way or another, and this, more than anything else, was responsible for what happened. But this crew in Great Britain has reflected in a very, very fine British HAS. Well, right now, I suppose most of you are situated okay, and we can get underway, and we are underway, and we're at 2 o'clock. And I hope that we can bust down any barriers we may have, one amongst ourselves, or between me and thee, or thee and me, or anything of the sort, and get a free-flowing line of communication. Better relaxation, just so we know each other, and bring up our level of tolerance, perhaps, on maybe some of my vastly terrible failings, because I have an awful time, I have a terrible time holding on to anchors, not anchor points, so I have any trouble holding on to anchor points. It's a rough deal with me sometimes, particularly since this last summer. It's been a long time. That I've been working in Dianetics and Scientology. Ever since I wrapped this up, so when the preacher came in, sat down, and I said bow wow, and he said woof woof, and a few other things happened in the thing, and so on. The guy didn't have a chronic somatic, and he was in good shape. I've been getting awfully impatient about sort of sitting still. Action is what is desirable, very definitely. Either action in terms of groups, or action in terms of getting of civilization built. We might even go that far. I know that sounds adventurous to you, getting a civilization built, because we'd only have to work with, we've got soda fountains and Coca-Cola and Ford cars. I mean, it's pretty rough. I really don't see how you people can stand this level of crudity. But anyway, our civilization could very well get itself somewhat shifted around if just those of us who are here now did a good job. Fantastic. Very true. As I say, I probably have numerous failings. One of the things is I crowd time very badly. I know what I can do in 10 minutes, and I know what somebody else ought to be able to do in 10 minutes, and sometimes 2 10-minute sessions will get overlapped and then try to occupy the same space. Now I find out I can live on 2 time tracks at once. Why can't you?
Please note, at this point in the lecture, a gap exists in the original recording. We now rejoin the class where the lecture resumes.
The processing I'm going to give you is not model group processing. My attitude when it comes to a group, a number of people in training, is, I'm afraid, particularly with people as well trained as those present, apt to be a trifle on the side of, well, it doesn't matter because they can always straighten it out. And I like to see a case finished and squared away, but it doesn't particularly matter if we're processing in a group. If we use, on a point I'm making here, we use group techniques which you as an individual would never dream of using on a big group of people. Something happens here, we've got lots of auditors. You see somebody walking around in a daze after this kind of processing and so forth, we'll just bring him out of these days. These processes I give you as group processes under no circumstances are, in the broad sense, group processes. I want you to understand that. I'm not getting you a model of group processes. It's highly specialized, limited just to auditors and groups of auditors who are going to be in contact with each other. I'm going to give you an interesting process right now known as the cycle of action. This process came out a long time ago. I dreamed this up in order to get over the hump of start, change, and stop. So here we go. Get finishing an engram. Running an engram, completely erasing. Get solving a case as an auditor. Finishing a number of locks off on a case. Get being a pleased creature as a result. Get being a pleased auditor. Get having turned a pre-clear into an angel. Get the feeling of beautiful accomplishment at having cleared an entire group of people. Get the cheerful feeling of having erased an entire chain of engrams as a preacher. Having erased an entire chain of engrams as an auditor. Get the pleasant feeling of having brought a pre-clear to present time. Having brought another pre-clear to present time. The final feeling of having brought another pre-clear to present time. the pleasant feeling again as a preclear of having been brought to present time. And again, the final feeling is a preclear of having been brought to present time. Now again, as a preclear, get the comfort of an enormous number of samagas. Get the comfort as an auditor of having turned on an enormous number of samagas. Get startled belief on the part of the preclear. Get startled belief as a preclear. Now get other people being startled into belief as preclears by other people. Now get everyone respecting you because you have been able to change the society for the better. Now get in front of you two people kneeling down saying they've been wrong about you in Scientology. Get two people in front of you saying, "We're so sorry we were wrong about you and Dianetics." Two more people in front of you, looking in your direction, just winnowing away to nothing and in absolute, abject shame at having ever questioned your sanity. Two more people in front of you apologizing abjectly and fading away to nothing because they questioned your godliness. Get two more people fading away because they have offended a faith. Two more people withering away because they have given offense. Get a temple falling down because it was set up by a rival. Now get being nailed on a cross. Now get being shot for loyalty. Get a whole multitude withering away because it had nailed you on a cross. Get a whole mob of people being terribly sorry they offended you while you were alive, now that you're dead. Get the beautiful feeling of having erased an anger. Having erased birth. Of having erased birth in a preclear. Of having erased the entire prenatal bank of Friedrich, including her. The beautiful finality as a Friedrich of having had the entire prenatal bank and birth erased. The wonderful feeling of finally hitting the beginning of the time curve. The pleasant feeling of having erased all the grief from your face. Of having erased all the grief from a pre-place face. You get somebody else feeling triumphant at having erased somebody else's grief. Get the pleasant feeling of having remedied and wiped out all your past misdeeds. I get the pleasant feeling of having suffered all the wrongs necessary to put you in the right. Now get the beauty of having graduated from the mess universe with the honors.